I was sending the children out at our church a few weeks ago, and they were taking a while to leave, so I just started sort of talking, and my daughters were laughing at me because they said, "Oh, you started talking nonsense." But what I started to say was, "Oh, go and be sponges." As they went out to their junior church, their Sunday school, I said, "Go and be a sponge." And there was a few people looked around and they said, "And I mean, like, soak up something of God, soak up what your teachers are telling you." And I didn't just stop there. That was the problem. That would have been okay if I'd stopped there. But I then said, "Oh, then, because you can go out and then you can, like, squeeze what you've learned onto other people and release it and tell other people." And then that's when I think people got a bit confused. But yeah. But really, that's what we are here to do today. And that's my prayer, really, as I speak to you now, is that we will soak up something of God's word together and what he has to say to us. So I'm just going to pray, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it so readily available in our day and age, Father, in our printed Bibles, in Braille, Father, on our devices. Lord God, however we access it, your word is right there for us. And I pray that as we look into it now, as we read it together, Lord, you would help us to learn and to grow in our knowledge of you and to go from this place challenged and encouraged by what we've seen and heard. And Lord, I pray that it will be your voice that is heard today in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I was asked to speak today about a rough guide to evangelism. Hopefully that's correct. Yes. Okay. That could have been awkward, couldn't it? Otherwise, like, no, that's next week. So a rough guide to evangelism. And when I was given this topic, my first thought genuinely was, oh man, Gordon's going to be sat there. And he is like the big evangelist. He's like the main man when it comes to evangelism. And I've got to stand up and talk about evangelism. So praise God he's not here. That's great. Hallelujah. That is so good. No, bless him and the work he's doing. But yes, evangelism can be a bit of a scary word. I don't know about you, but sometimes you talk to people, and when you start to talk about evangelism, it can bring people out in a bit of a cold sweat or a bit of a panic. Some people are called to be evangelists. You know, I've already mentioned Gordon, and there are other people, and I've worked with them, and you can see God's anointing and God's calling upon them to be evangelists. They're part of the Ephesians 4 gifts to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists. People who are called to that ministry, and that's what they give themselves to do. But you see, that doesn't let the rest of us off the hook. No. Because we are all called to be involved in evangelism. And why do I say that? Well, because that's what I read in the Bible. If you look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it says that we are to go as followers of Jesus. We are to go and make disciples of other nations, baptizing them in Jesus' name. And then in Acts 1, verse 8, some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his followers, he says to them, "Hey, you are going to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." And so if you're here today and you are a Christian, you have made a decision to have a relationship with God, and you've said yes to Jesus as your Savior, then I'm afraid you have to be involved in evangelism. So we're going to look at what that looks like and give you this kind of rough guide to evangelism. Often we think about doing evangelism. I don't know about you, but we think we're going to do evangelism like two people. Yes, we're going to do it to them. We're going to put on an event. We're going to evangelize. You know, we're going to go into schools and we're going to do the evangelism to people. And I think sometimes that's what can be a bit scary, because for me, I'm quite happy to stand up in front of a room full of people and chatter. Not for a long time, don't worry. I can see the coffee table is calling us. But, you know, I'm quite happy to stand up and talk. But for some people, this is their worst nightmare. And so how do those people do evangelism? I think evangelism needs to become more of just part of who we are in our everyday life and our walk with God. Everyday evangelism is what I've called it. Everyday evangelism, which is just being the witness that Jesus asked us to be in the things that we say and the things that we do and the way we live our lives, all point people towards God and who he is and the difference he's made in our lives. And rather it becoming a thing that we sort of gear ourselves up to and we practice and we get ready for and then we do and we drop on somebody, evangelism needs to sort of flow through everything that we are and who we are, because we are meant to be called to reach out to other people, to reach people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at Riverside, we had a new minister start back in September 2018. So we've had a first year of him being in charge of the church there. And the first year of the church was about raising potential. So we've had a year of sort of looking quite inwardly as a church at the people there, spiritual gifts, that kind of thing, and raising the potential of us as believers. But next year, 2020, is a year of reaching people. That's what we're seeking to do. And so I was thinking about this word reach. And so for today's rough guide to evangelism, I'm actually going to use that word as the basis for what I want to talk about. And I'm quite a simple person. And so for me, I like to have things that help me to remember, help me to understand. And I'm a big fan of acrostics. So I'm going to use the word reach, and we're going to take each letter, and I'm going to share something with you as this rough guide to evangelism for you here at Duncan Road. So, and then you've got a couple of other things coming up, haven't you? Rough guides to a few other things to look forward to in the next few weeks. But today, the rough guide to evangelism using the word reach. So firstly, we need to have a readiness with God. Okay, there needs to be a readiness with God. This means being available for God and ready to respond when an opportunity arises. So what does being ready with God mean? Well, it means about living a life that is consistent with the Word of God. It means living a life that is in tune with God, so that we are hearing his promptings. We are hearing his voice when he speaks to us and leads us into a situation where he might want us to talk to somebody about Jesus. Or he might want us to meet somebody's need to show the love of Jesus. Because that is also evangelism. Showing God's love, not just talking about God's love. And so it may be that being ready with God is that we have to think about our everyday lives, our disciplines, the way that we live and interact with God, so that we are always ready to be used by him when he calls out to us. Now, God is great, which is good news for all of us. In his amazing mercy and grace, he can still use us in our weakness and our brokenness. So we don't all have to be perfect and be ticking all of the boxes of Scripture to say, yes, I'm living exactly right with God, to be used by God for evangelism. Because otherwise, none of us would ever be able to be used by God, because we're not perfect. And I know in my own experience, in my walk with God, there have been times when I've felt maybe a bit distant. I haven't been as close to God as I would like, been working through some things. And yet God, in his grace, has chosen to use me to speak to somebody or to meet a need and to be a witness to somebody. And so we don't have to have everything perfect and correct to be used by God. Phew. But we do need to make an effort, I think, to be the most effective we can be. We need to be making the effort to always be ready with God. There's a Christian writer called John Andrews. And he wrote a book called Living on Purpose. And in it, he spoke about these two Greek words used in the New Testament for time. He spoke about chronos, which is general time, the everyday time. And then he spoke about kairos, which is a significant appointed time. And when he looked at Jesus, he observed this. He said, Jesus was able to step into his kairos moment because he lived well in the chronos times. And it's the same for us, that if we live well and are making sure our relationship with God is good in the chronos, in the everyday, when God opens up a kairos moment for us to speak into somebody's life, to meet a need for somebody in the name of evangelism, then we're ready and we're able to be effective for God in those moments. So for me, the first step to everyday evangelism is being ready to allow God to use us. 1 Peter 3:15, the verse that I've got up there, is the verse that says, if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. If somebody asks you why you're a Christian, why do you believe in God? Why did Jesus die on the cross? What does it actually mean for you? We need to always be ready to explain that. And we don't have to go big on the theology. You know, when I became a Christian, I was 14 years old. It was in 1989. You can do the maths. And I became a Christian because somebody stood up on a platform at Spring Harvest and they said three simple things: that God forgives me for my past, he helps me to live a new life today, and I will always have a hope for my future. That was it for me. And so now when I talk to people and I try and explain to them why I believe what I believe, that's where I start. Three simple points: forgiveness, new life, and hope. And if they want to ask more questions, then we can get into a conversation about it, and I'll do my best to answer them. When I was on the Jesus trailer with Gordon a few weeks back at Brookfield, there's some very intelligent young people at Brookfield School, and they had some very, very deep questions. And they would ask the question, and I would look at Gordon and say, that one's yours. And he would answer it brilliantly. But so for me, it's just about being ready to explain at any moment why I believe what I believe. So the first thing for everyday evangelism is being ready for God, ready with God. The next thing is that we have to have an expectation of God. Because when I open up my Bible and I read it, I read things like, God can do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So my expectation levels are based on my faith in a God for whom all things are possible. So when it comes to evangelism, do I approach evangelism with a great expectation, or do I approach it really not sure what the outcome's going to be? And if I'm honest, there's been lots of times in my life as a Christian where I've been in an evangelistic situation, I've stood up, I've spoken, or I've talked with somebody one-to-one, and I've not necessarily been sure whether it's going to make any difference. I've just been like, okay, well, I've done what I needed to do. You know, God's asked me to do that. I've done it. Whereas as we approach evangelism, we need to be expectant that as we talk to somebody, as we meet somebody's need, God will move in that situation. God will bring revelation. God will open people's eyes and soften their hearts to want to accept him into their lives and as their savior. Do we have great expectations when we think about evangelism? There's a new-ish version of the New Testament, a translation called the Passion Translation. And it says this of Ephesians 3:20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and he will exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. You see, if we think, okay, well, if I talk to this person and they might just sort of hear what I'm saying and think a bit about God, God takes that and can do immeasurably more than we can even ask, think, or imagine. So we need to have great expectations when we think about sharing our faith with other people. Something that I learned a while back, and it's just a real release, real pressure off your shoulders, is that it's not actually up to me to make somebody become a Christian. It's not up to me. My job is to introduce them to Jesus, tell them a bit about who he is and what he's done, what the Bible says, And then it's God, through his Holy Spirit, that will bring a revelation and make that switch. I don't have to like convince them and batter them until they say, all right, I will believe. It's up to God to bring that moment of revelation. The thing about evangelism is that when we do what we can, when we make ourselves ready, and we go and we put ourselves in a position to be used by God, God takes what we can do, and he does what we can't. He brings that revelation and that change in people's thinking. A writer by the name of Mark Batterson says that God can take you places that you can't go, set up divine appointments with people that you couldn't ordinarily meet, and do things in you and through you that may seem impossible. Jesus himself. I love this verse in John's Gospel, John 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this to them. I tell you this truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. So did you hear that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has fed the thousands, he's walked on water, he's opened blind eyes, the lame have been able to dance around, the sick have been healed, the dead have been raised, this is Jesus. He then says to those of us that believe in him and have chosen to follow him, you can do these same things. Oh no, hang on a minute. You can do even greater things because I'm going to be with God and the Holy Spirit's going to come and live in you. So when it comes to evangelism, put that next to that. As we go and talk to people, as we go and share our faith with people in everyday situations, we have this potential to do all these incredible things, to do these things that God has placed within us to do. But it takes a decision on our part to go into action, to be prepared to take action for God when it comes to evangelism. Helen Keller once said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. The only thing worse is having sight but having no vision. So what's your vision personally for evangelism? As a church, I'm sure you've got a mission statement, and it says on your bottom of your screen, I noticed, explain your faith or explain the faith. And that's brilliant to see that it's already on there. But what is your personal vision when it comes to your role in evangelism, in your role in being a witness for God? Do you make yourself ready to be used by him? Do you have expectations of what God might want to do in you and through you? Proverbs 29:18 in the King James Version says, where there is no vision, people perish. In the Message translation, it says that if people can't see what God is doing, they will stumble over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So what has God revealed to you as an individual? What has God shown you that he wants you to be involved with? What sort of activities, what sort of people to get alongside and to witness to and to be an evangelist to? Because it's time to make a move. It's time to ask God to open up doors for you. Ask God for wisdom to know how to respond. Because again, this is the God of the impossible. The God who can open up doors and create opportunities where ordinarily we wouldn't get the chance. The God that can coordinate meetings of people to advance what he's put in you to achieve. And an example of that is Gordon, I guess. You know, I'm not on commission from Gordon or anything, you know. But, I met him. He came to see a production of The One Man Passion. We met for a coffee, very showbiz, in Costa. We talked about how we could work together in some schools. Then we talked about how I could come and perform at the youth camp in Lockerley, which I did in August, just gone. And then I was on the Jesus trailer with him. And now next year he's hooked me up and I've already got 4 dates in churches in the region where I get to go and preach and talk about the work I do. So meeting Gordon has been a God-ordained thing that has now opened up lots of other opportunities for me to be involved in evangelism. And see, God can do that for any one of us if we make ourselves available and ready God will bring the people into our lives that we need to meet to achieve his plans and his purposes. To be involved in everyday evangelism, we just need to make a decision to be active, to take action for God, and to get involved in what he's doing. That will lead, though, to a challenge. That will lead to a challenge. Because evangelism, be it big, grand events or the everyday evangelism, can be challenging and will be challenging. People don't always necessarily want to hear about God or about Jesus and the difference that he can make in your life. And God will lead us into different situations and different places that he wants us to be so that he can use us to advance his kingdom and to tell people about his love for them. And it can be a bit scary. It can feel a bit risky. But the great thing that I think about is that God has already put everything within us that we need to fulfill his plans and purposes. If we believe that God created us, that he knew us when he knit us together in our mother's womb, as it says in Psalm 139, that he ordained all the days of our lives, if he knows, like Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, then God has already created us in a way that we have everything we need to serve him. Somebody once said that potential is God's gift to us, and what we do with that is our gift back to him. Potential is God's gift to us, and what we do with it is our gift back to him. God has put potential into each and every one of you to serve him in evangelism. Not necessarily up on the platform, dancing around, doing the stuff, but just to be a witness, to get alongside people, to tell people about your hope and your faith in God. God has put dreams and visions into us. He's given us ideas of things that he wants us to achieve, and he wants to bring those things to birth. You know, the Southampton Passion, like I spoke about in 2011, it started in 2008 for me, when God just planted a seed, a vision in my heart to stage something like this in Southampton. And then it was about sharing that vision with people, building a team, making it happen. And then we got to the date on 2011, and all these people came to watch it, and God did some amazing things. I'm nobody special. I don't claim to be any great person because of that, but I was just willing to be used by God. And that's what God is looking for, I think, when it comes to evangelism, is people that are willing to say, I'm ready to be used by you, God. It will be challenging. God will call us into things that stretch us, but he is always going to be there for us. In the Last Supper, not the Last Supper, sorry, the feeding of the 5,000, in John's Gospel, John 6, which is here, Jesus is about to feed thousands of people with the two loaves of bread, the two fish, five loaves of bread. And before he does this, so there's a moment where he sits down, and it says this in John 6, 5 and 6. As Jesus sat down, he looked out and he saw the crowd of people scrambling up the hill because they wanted to be near him. So he turned to Philip and he said to Philip, where will we buy enough food to feed all these people? And here's the thing, verse 6 says, now Jesus already knew what he was about to do, but he said this to stretch Philip's faith. You know, I believe that God already knows what he wants to do in and through each and every one of us here today. He already knows the miracles, the work, the ministry he wants you and I to do. But he comes to us and he challenges us to say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to go about this? How are we going to achieve this? How are you going to feed the hungry people in your local area? How are you going to help and support the young mums? How are you going to get alongside the lonely men? How are you going to do all of these things? He wants us to get involved with the work of evangelism, to be telling people about him. He does it to stretch us and to challenge us so that we then have a greater capacity to be part of what he has already planned to do. He wants to stretch us so that we have a greater capacity to be part of what he has already planned to do. God is calling us to be part of his plan to reach people with the good news. He wants us to be ready to do that, to be expectant that things can happen. Take action, knowing that it will be a challenge. But I've saved the best news for last. Because in the midst of all this, we are always helped by God. You know, I started out with the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and we're going to go back to that as I conclude. Because it says that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you read it in the Amplified Version, if you like extra words, it says this: I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstances, in every occasion, even to the end of the age. Whatever happens, God is our source of help and our source of strength. We don't enter into this everyday evangelism thing on our own. He doesn't just say, right, go and be my witnesses, go and tell people about me, make disciples, come back and let me know how you get on. He's with us every step of the way. Matthew 10:19 says, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. In Exodus 4:21, God said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. In Hebrews 13:21, it says, may God equip you with everything you need for doing his will. And in Philippians 4:19, the same God that takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. These are just a few of the promises from the Word of God. That when God sends us out to be fishers of men and women, he goes with us. He provides for us. He gives us the words to say. He empowers us to do miracles at times. He equips us with everything we need to do his will. And he provides for all of our needs. Because, you know, God wants you to succeed in evangelism more than you want to succeed in evangelism. You ever thought about that? God wants people to come into relationship with him more than we do. So he is going to provide every step of the way. He's going to take control of it. He's got us covered as we approach this thing called evangelism. So there we have it. That was the rough guide to evangelism, how we reach people with the good news. It's about being ready, saying to God, here I am, send me. Use me for your purposes. It's about being expectant that when we put ourselves in those positions, God will use us to make a difference in other people's lives. It's about being ready to take action, being prepared to take some steps of faith, step out of the boat onto the water that God is calling us to. This will be challenging and it will stretch us and maybe a bit scary at times. But through all of this, we are constantly held up and helped by the God who will never leave us or abandon us. So I hope that's been helpful. A rough guide to evangelism, a rough guide to reaching people. We're going to sing a final song together now. And after that song, as we finish, I will close in prayer. If you want to talk to me or ask any questions or want prayer particularly about this issue, I'm more than happy to pray with people, to talk with people afterwards. And I'm sure other elders of the church will pray with you as well. If God has put something on your heart for evangelism, for telling people, reaching people, then I'd love to pray with you about that and just release God's blessing and God's favor upon you at this time. And if you just want prayer for strength, for courage in this, you know, God said to Joshua, be bold, be strong, be courageous, for I am with you, I will never leave you. And maybe you just need to be encouraged and hear that today, that God is always with you, he's not going to leave you. But we're going to stand together and we're going to sing our final song, which is Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. And I'm going to skip on because my favorite verse in this song is this one. When it says, no work too hard for him, in faith receive from him. That's the expectancy that I've been talking about. There's nothing that is too difficult for God. It's up to us in faith to receive what he wants to give us. So let's stand to sing, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord.